The 2010 Girls High School Cross Country State Championship race was being run in California. There was a junior runner by the name of Holland Reynolds. She began to have a hard time with dehydration towards the end of the race. There was a Good Morning America ABC News story that showed her collapsing just a few feet short of the finish line. Her coach, by the name of Jim Tracy, had suffered from debilitating Lou Gehrig's disease, had always taught his star runner to never give up. And the video shows Holland bringing herself up to her knees after collapsing and crawling to the finish line.
Two races left on the calendar after the finish. And right now, Tony, we see our number two for Seventh University now up at the chute. Their number three, who was previously number two, is now walking the last 80 meters. She is in severe duress here, trying to finish up.
This is the guts that cross country brings out in athletes.
This is very good here. All the way through, getting for her teammates. She's got about 30 meters to go.
9:30.
Holding her so well. Oh boy, about 5 meters. Hopefully she will get back up. This is a decision here. She gets assistance, of course.
This is
decision time. They're asking her, how is she feeling?
This is cross country.
That would be the qualifiers. And they're asking her, can you make it? Look at her. It's a courageous effort trying to cross that finish.
The crowd is giving her all they can here at the finish.
See, as she crosses, they will scoop her up and take her to the medical tent right away.
And then she did it.
What a great effort by that athlete from East San Francisco University. Once again, the team favorites here give you all.
Wow, wasn't that something? That girl, her name was Holland Reynolds. Her unbelievable determination won the championship for her school and her coach. She didn't win the race, but she was placed high enough because she finished, they won the state championship. Her decision to press on has been a source of inspiration to multitudes of people who've seen that video and her determined crawl across the finish line. Her press-on spirit is something that the Bible challenges all of God's people with. As this year, 2023, grinds to a close, and I'm sure a lot of you are saying, praise the Lord, it's over. We have been through some difficult things. Sometimes, many of us have just got plain wore out. Voices are calling out to us from every side, turn around, give up, or just coast through another year. But God has a message for us in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. And the message is two words, press on. Let me read these verses of scripture to you this morning. Paul is saying this to the Philippian believers, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we bow before you this morning at the very edge of a new year that lies ahead of us. I pray that today that you, through your word, would challenge all of God's people to press on. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul encapsulates that press-on spirit with his words that he is saying that that's his goal in life. Press on. So what does it mean to press on? I think Paul tells us four things in these verses of Scripture that challenges us to press on in certain areas. First of all, press on in knowing the Savior. Paul said very well, that I may know him. Well, the Apostle Paul wanted to know Jesus. Well, he already knew him as Savior. As a matter of fact, in verse 9, it says that he was found in him. That is talking about his relationship to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you the question. Are you found with Christ living in you? Can you be found in him? There's no hope for you if you don't, if you've never received Christ as your Savior. But Paul went beyond that. That I may know him. I think he meant more than knowing Christ as Savior. He wanted to know him in a far deeper way. To get to know Jesus, I know one day, as the song said, we're going to see him face to face. But we can, in this world, with all of its distractions, with all of its sin, we can get to know Jesus better and deeper. How do we do that? I think, first of all, we get to know Jesus through our study of the Word of God. If you want to know God and Christ on a whole new level, you must press on by digging daily in the Word of God. The new year starts tomorrow. Why not commit to a new study of the Word of God? Find a time, find a place, find a subject, whether you start at Genesis or you take one of the New Testament books or the Psalms or something else, but commit to study the Word of God. You don't have to overcommit and say, I'm going to spend 2 hours studying the Bible today, but just start out with doing a couple verses a day, but you will get to know the Lord Jesus better. The songwriter Mary Lathbury tied the knowledge of Jesus Christ with the knowledge of the Word in a song, Break Thou the Bread of Life. Let me just read a little bit of that hymn. Break Thou the Bread of Life, dear Lord, to me, as Thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, I seek Thee, Lord. My spirit pants for Thee, O living Word. Bless Thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, as Thou didst bless the bread by Galilee. Then all the bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me, Thy holy word, the truth that saveth me. Give me to eat and live with Thee above. Teach me to love Thy truth, for Thou art love. O send Thy Spirit, Lord, now unto me, that He may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within Thy Word, and in Thy book revealed, I see the Lord. In Thy book revealed, I see the Lord. You're going to know more about Jesus. It's going to draw you closer to the Savior through our study of His Word. But there's another way we can know Him. Through our daily walk with Jesus. We know Him by reading His Word, but also by walking with Him daily. And that's not just an academic relationship. He is our personal Savior. He cares about our decisions, our marriage, our relationship, our kids, the tests we might take, the jobs we might work, our health and our needs. And we walk with Him through a daily time of praying. Whether you make it a specific time or just through the day, just walk with Him and talk with Him in prayer. As you're driving in traffic and somebody irritates you, instead of doing the thing that everybody else does and giving them certain gestures, oh, Lord, I pray for that person. They must have had a bad day today, you know. God help them to be a little smarter in their driving habits. Or, you know, just talk with the Lord all the day. You get to know the Lord Jesus a lot better when you talk to Him. How would you get, if you decided to get married to somebody and you never talked to them? Yeah, that thing wouldn't work at all. And our relationship with Christ can go deeper and sweeter as we continue to walk with Him in that daily prayer time. But there's another way we can get to know Him on a deeper level, and that is through our weaknesses and our suffering. Paul said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. I've learned more about Jesus in my pain than in my pleasure. How about you? You've learned how sweet God is when you know that He is the only thing that is keeping you in life. I've been able to fellowship with Jesus more in suffering. I remember the story that the Gospel of Matthew tells us about Jesus sending His disciples across the Sea of Galilee after a busy day of teaching. These disciples were tired as they were rowing across the sea, and then a storm came up. I tell you, when storms come up in your life, it seems like all else goes, and your spirituality sometimes goes as well. Let me read Matthew 14, starting at verse 23. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the water. Just let me think about that. When you are in a storm, it's the fourth watch of the night. It's way past midnight. And they were about ready to capsize. Jesus came to them in the middle of that storm, walking on the water. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered Him, said, "Lord, if it's You, command me to come to You on the water." So He said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Have you ever prayed something very simple like that? "Lord, help." When you were physically wore out from some kind of disease or some kind of injury, when your marriage is tough, when you've lost someone, maybe you felt like Peter, which beginning to sink slowly. That's when Jesus is there and reaches His hand down and lifts you up. You get to know Him in a deeper level when you're going through the suffering and the pain. We think of Paul with his thorn in the flesh when he prayed that God would take it away from him 3 times, and then he heard this: "My grace is sufficient for you. My presence is enough. My power is adequate for whatever comes your way in life. No testing has overtaken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will, with the temptation, will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." If you want to get to know the Lord more, you're going to find Him in the middle of your suffering. And you're going to find that He's sweeter there than you've ever imagined Him to be. Paul wanted to press on in knowing the Lord. But there's a pressing on that he also mentions in verse 13. "Press on, forgetting the past. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." In other words, I'm not there yet. I'm not perfect, I'm not glorified, I'm not what I ought to be yet, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the goal. To run faster, we need to leave behind certain baggage that will weigh us down. What kind of things do you think Paul meant when he said, "forgetting those things which are behind"? I think we have to come to grips with our past failures. Paul could have really been hindered by the guilt of having Christians murdered. Imagine that. I mean, I know some pretty bad people that are here today, but I don't know of too many murderers in the midst. If you've done that, please don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. But Paul was a murderer. He had people arrested. He had Christians. And that could mess with his mind. But he said, forgetting those things which are behind, he was able to forget them because he was forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ and washed all that sins away. And he chose to lay those past sinful behaviors and failures behind. And many of us have failed the Lord this year. I'm not just telling you to forget about your sins, because you can't bury live sins. You can't ignore them. There's too much of this in evangelicalism. Your sinful life doesn't matter. You know, God is good and you're good and we're all good to go. I mean, you need to deal with your sins. Admit it. Look at the ugly failure right in the face and ask God to forgive you. And then forgive the people or ask them forgiveness for what you've done to them. And then forget it. Don't carry the guilt when the blood of Jesus has covered it all. Some of us this morning may be carrying a heavy load of sins that you have not dealt with. Maybe immorality, maybe lying and a bitter spirit, a foul mouth, addiction, gossiping tongue. Folks, these will weigh you down in your spiritual life like carrying bricks in your backpack. You will not be able to make very good progress for the Lord unless you admit, confess, and forsake these things. Do not drag them into the new year. Start fresh with forgiveness and the blood of Jesus covering those sins. Paul probably had in mind forgetting his past failures. And I think also moving beyond our past disappointments. Move beyond the things that others have done to you. Past hurts. Has someone hurt you? I know a lot of people drop out of church because somebody said something hurtful to them. They drop out of serving the Lord. They drop out of ministry. I had a friend in college that was kind of a mentor to me, and he dropped out of ministry. And I talked to him one time. He said, "Brother, don't you love the Lord anymore?" And he said to me, "Jim, I love the Lord, but I don't like people." Because he had been in the church where they hurt him deeply and he just could not get past it. Don't let that happen to you, because there's some people that will hurt you and you need to let it go. You need to let it go, folks. I heard a story about a kid who fell down and got a big scrape on his knee. As it healed, he developed a scab over the knee. What do you suppose he started doing? He started picking the scab. And his mom told him, "Don't pick the scab and it will heal faster." Some of you are picking the scab and you are dwelling on the hurts that others have done to you. What would have Joseph got out of life if he would have sat in that prison and he planned his revenge on his brothers? You know? 13 years he was in prison or a slave. And thinking about what his brothers did, sold him and just threw him in a pit. They were going to kill him. But then they decided, let's just sell him. And he was gone from their lives. And Joseph could have resented the hurt from a lot of people in his life. But he didn't. He didn't at all. I think of this question. When are you going to let it go? When? Why not now? The beginning of a new year. Just let it go and live for God. Well, moving out beyond our past disappointments also involves laying aside your past accomplishments. Paul had many things that he did for the Lord that he could have relished in. He could have counted the trophies on his spiritual mantle, you might say. His spiritual victories, he could have said, 1, 2, 3, 13 books of the Bible I wrote. How many books of the Bible have you wrote? He could have treasured that. He could have said, who was the missionary who took the gospel to Europe? Me. He could have seen all those people that were saved, but he didn't. You don't see any of the bragging. It was all about God. It was all about what Jesus did. And he was lamenting the fact that he didn't get saved earlier. But you know, sometimes our past accomplishments mess up our future progress. You know, we've been blessed as a church here. We're growing. Our offerings are great. Our concert fills up the church. We had a cantata that was filled this place up, and we could say, wow, what a great church are we. You know, if we dwell on our past accomplishments, it's going to mess up our future progress. We need to lay that aside in our personal lives as well. We can't just sit back and thank the Lord for what he's done in our spiritual lives. We got to press on. Press on, forgetting our past failures and our past disappointments, even our past accomplishments. Press on. Well, knowing the Savior is one of the things we need to press on. And forgetting the past, verse 12, realizing our purpose. In verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I see here Christ's call on our life. Christ has laid hold of us. In other words, he's saved us. He's chosen us. We're one of his. But we have a purpose. He didn't just save us to immediately take us to heaven. We have a purpose to fulfill while we're down here. God's begun a good work in us, according to Philippians 1:6, and he will complete it. He has a purpose of our life just to save, not just to save us from hell, but to glorify him and serve him the rest of our lives. And I notice Paul's eagerness to fulfill it, that I may lay hold of that. I want to accomplish, I want to fulfill God, Christ's purpose for my life. I want to find the niche that God has for me. Think of Moses. He was 40 years in Egypt, realizing, you know, all of the pleasures and all of the benefits and all the power of being in that position of being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then after that, remember, he was 40 years in the backside of the desert. He was guarding and keeping sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro. Not a very glorious position. One day in Exodus chapter 3, an angel came to him. The Lord came to him and said, I am who I am. And Moses realized, God has something more for me than just watching sheep. And you see the rest of his life leading the Israelites out of Egypt. I think of Joseph, as I just referred to him. He is sitting in prison. His master's wife made a pass at him, and he didn't fulfill her desires, and she, of course, was insulted and had him arrested and thrown into prison. And he's sitting there in prison doing his best. Imagine Joseph thinking this: God, you've got something more for me. And of course, God did. And he went on to greatness. We need to realize what God has us down here for. Find a ministry. Find your niche. Find something that God wants you to do in your service for him in a way that you can glorify him. And when you find that, you're going to find the greatest joy after your salvation is finding your niche in doing what God wants you to do. Press on. And then we find out in verse 14 that Paul was pressing on, focusing on the finish in verse 14. Verse 14 says this: I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul used the idea of running a race. I press. This is the same verb that is translated in verse 12 as to I follow after. The Greeks use this to describe a hunter eagerly pursuing his prey. Man does not become a winning athlete by listening to lectures or watching videotapes or reading books or cheering at the game. He becomes a winning athlete by getting into the game and determining to win. Let me ask you this. Some of you were in sports in high school or college or whatever. How many of you had to sit on the bench? I see a few of you. Sitting on the bench is no fun, is it? I can imagine sitting on the bench. Now, I didn't go out for team sports. I went out for individual sports. Cross country as a freshman, they just throw you in there. You get a run. You might be the last person in there. I remember running one race in the 2 mile race, and I just did not want to finish last. So I ran and ran, and I beat my friend who was on my team, so I got next to the last. You don't want to sit on the bench. It's just no fun sitting on the bench. And we need to get in the game. We need to get in the game and serving the Lord. The same zeal that Paul employed when he persecuted the church, he displayed in serving Christ. Come to think of it, wouldn't it be wonderful if Christians put as much determination in spiritual life as they do in golf or fishing or fantasy football games? We got to get in the game and reaching for the finish line. Vigorously and with concentration, Paul sought to win the prize to which God had called him heavenward. What is our finish line? On Wednesdays, we've been studying what happens after we die. We've talked about glorification. We've talked about heaven. We talked about rewards. We talked about getting to see the Lord Jesus face to face. I appreciate Jim with all these songs today about heaven. We sang face to face. Soon and very soon we shall see the King. I'll fly away when the roll is called up yonder. What a day that will be. Folks, we like to sing those songs, don't we? I think our congregation likes to sing them better than a younger congregation because we're closer to that finish line than a lot of others are to that finish line. We look forward to that. The runner, Holland Reynolds, collapsed, but even though she fell, she picked herself up to her knees and crawled across the finish line. She pressed on. Folks, it's easy to quit. Quit going to church. Stop reading your Bible. Stop giving. Resign from serving. To forget to pray or just coast in your walk with the Lord. But our Lord has called us to press on. Press on, child of God, when others have hurt you deeply. Press on when you are overlooked or unappreciated. Press on when your body is beginning to fail you. Press on when you've lost your spouse and now are alone in the world. Press on when you've stumbled and failed in your walk with God. Just get up. Press on. Because, my friend, the finish line is just ahead. Let's pray. Father in heaven, come in your presence today. And I know I'm talking to someone today who is just wore out. Physically, mentally, and spiritually. May your words from Philippians today challenge them and challenge all of us to get up, and even if we have to crawl, to get across that finish line, because one day it will be worth it all. One day we will see our Lord face to face, and one day we'll get to enjoy the rewards of eternity with Christ. Lord, challenge our church here at Peace River to be a church that is not coasting, but pressing on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand again as we sing.